Hello, I'm Emma Desi, and welcome to another episode of Turning Readers into Writers. If you're brand new here, welcome, and here's what you need to know. This is a community that believes you are never too old to write your first novel. No matter what you've been up to until now, if you're ready to write your book, I'm ready to help you reach the end. I focus on helping you find the time and confidence to begin your writing journey, as well as the craft and skills you need to finish the book. Each week I interview debut authors, editors and industry experts to keep you motivated, inspired and educated on all things writing, editing and publishing. If you want to catch up, head on over to emmadesi.com where you'll find a wealth of information and tools to help you get started. Before we dive in, this week's episode is brought to you by my free cheat sheet, 30 Top Tips to Find Time to Write. In this guide, I give you 30 ways that you can find time to write in the small gaps that appear between the various errands and tasks and responsibilities that you have in your day-to-day life. Now, you might be thinking that you don't have any time to spare, but I can guarantee these top tips will give you writing time you didn't think you had. If you thought writing always involved a pen and paper or a keyboard, think again. If you thought you needed at least an hour at a time to write your manuscript, I help you reframe that. You won't be disappointed. Get your free copy of 30 Top Tips to Find Time to Write by going to emmadesi.com/30toptips. Okay, let's dive in to today's episode. Autumn J. Burt won her first writing contest in high school and has gone on to have a book nominated for Best Book of 2017. She won Best World Building and has had other Win Readers' Choice Awards. Writing has become a passion. Usually she writes primary fantasy from epic to dark, but all of them have bold heroines and heroes, epic landscapes, and since she's a bit of a romantic at heart, usually have a bit of love along the way. Jesper Schmidt is a best-selling fantasy author who also dabbles in non-fiction. So if you need help with writing, publishing and marketing, Jesper can be found at Am Writing Fantasy. Together, they are the names and faces behind the website Am Writing Fantasy and the website Self-Publishing Success, where they help writers get their books written. So let's dive into our conversation with the two of them, find out how they got started in writing and how they work together. We'll discover the nitty-gritty of what it means to be a co-writing partnership and the benefits to being a co-writing partnership. And then we learn some more about their podcast, Am Writing Fantasy. So let's get listening. Well, Jesper, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So I wonder if you could start by letting me know about your journey to writing. How did you become a writer and get to the place where you are now?
Yeah, I guess opposite to a lot of other people that I usually listen to on podcasts when they are asked this question, they always say, I always knew I wanted to be a writer and it's been with me since I was a child and I started writing at five, but that's really not me, to be honest. I've always loved, you know, the fantasy genre. I've always read it and watched fantasy movies and all that stuff. I've always been in love with that, but I think it wasn't until I became an adult at some point that I started thinking about that it would be fun to write some stories. But then I also thought that, well, it's something I could get back to one day. You know, once I retire or something, I could sit down and I could start writing some books. And then every summer, usually we go to Finland on vacation. And in Finland, they have this wonderful sauna. So you just sit in the sauna and you relax and you think. And then it was there one night that I just started thinking, why is it that I have gotten this idea into my head that I should wait 20 years until I retire or something? Well, why couldn't I just start writing? And then the next morning, I had my laptop there as well. So I pulled it out the next morning and I started writing the most awful stuff that the world will never see. But I started writing. And I never stopped.
Yeah, it's actually, I've come across a few people now in my podcasting life that have said, you know, it took them a while to realize, actually, this is something I really want to do. It's something I love. Why am I putting this off if I enjoy it? So
And I'm a bit like that too. I was sort of, well, I did always know I wanted to write, but it took me a long time to actually make the decision to do it. And then right. once I made the decision, it was all good.
yeah.
Now you write together, not everything, but you do some writing together with your colleague, Autumn J. Burt. And I wonder if you could share with us a little bit, just, you know, how you met and then how you realized that you would be a good writing team. Because it's something that not many of us do. A lot of us still are in our garrets by ourselves. So what made you kind of want to try at least co-writing?
Well, yeah, it was a bit of a long journey, to be honest. It started quite a lot of years back. I think we met on Twitter first. We're just talking about something. At that point in time, I had just released my book on fantasy map making. And I think Autumn saw some tweets about that or something like that. And so we ping-ponged a bit there on Twitter. We also emailed a bit for a while, just like different things, you know, just normal things, nothing to do with co-working or co-authoring at all. And at about the same time, Autumn had also started the Am Writing Fantasy website and blog. And it was going fairly well. She was pretty surprised that nobody had snatched up that URL yet. So she bought it and started blogging there and about writing and all those different things. And then she at some point felt like, because she's traveled a lot, you know, she was basically like, she didn't have a stationary place at all. She just traveled, drove around US with her husband and dog and experienced things and wrote wherever she was. And she felt like she could need a bit of help. So she was thinking, I wonder if there's somebody I could work with to manage this Am Writing Fantasy stuff as well. And she had also just built a writing course at that point in time. And courses was something that I was already thinking about way from the beginning, that I would really like to do that one day, because I love the teaching. I love the sharing stuff. But building a course is one thing, is sort of putting the material together. But another thing is all the technical things about it. You know, you need the course platforms. You need to ensure that people can't get in unless they paid and all that stuff. And I didn't know how to manage that at all. So I sort of just had a mental note about, I need to figure that out one day. And then Autumn reached out to me and asked if I wanted to work together on the Am Writing Fantasy stuff. And I was thinking, well, yeah, but if we're to work together, I think I want to expand it quite a lot more. So I went back to her and said, yeah, I'm interested. But I was actually thinking that why wouldn't we do a lot of other things as well? Because I want to get into the course stuff. You already have some platforms to do that. And she knows all the technical stuff, all the website building and all. She knows how to do all that, which I don't. So so I was trying to tap into that a bit and see, can we work together on that as well? At the time, I also had a YouTube channel I was running at the time and was struggling a bit with it as well. So we ended up deciding to, we had a couple of video meetings just to align. Do we want the same thing? What is our goals here? And what are we trying to build? But that aligned very well. And because of it, then we decided to, well, it was probably a good time to start working together. So we actually started only on the nonfiction stuff, meaning that all the Am Writing Fantasy brand is covering everything to do with advice and teaching other authors and so on. So that's actually where we started. And we went like that for a long while. We wrote a couple of nonfiction books together. And then somewhere along the way, we decided, why don't we just write the fiction stuff together as well? So that's what we've started as well. And basically, this 2021, we have fully dedicated to writing fiction together. So that's what we are really doubling down on now.
Oh, it's been a journey of discovery for both of you. I like the idea that you've both sort of come to the table with different assets, different skill sets, and have been able to put them together to kind of drive this, both the Am Writing Fantasy and the Success School together as well. So that's it's nice to find someone that you've got those skill sets and that overlap, but also that you've got a common kind of goal, a common ambition for the business as well. Now, before we started recording, we did kind of talk about, you mentioned that there are a number of benefits to co-writing. So for those of us that don't co-write, what has been your experience so far of the benefits of doing that?
Well, there is a number of things. As long as you can work together, of course, that's sort of the starting point. If you if you're able to figure out how to make things work between you, but I think in terms of benefits, there is, for one, or for a start, there is the fact that when you do the stories and you figure out what is this supposed to be about, or even, of course, we write fantasy, so we also do some world building and all that stuff. You can really challenge each other in terms of trying to find out, is this really the best thing we can come up with? And usually I've at least found that when we do it together, then the end result becomes much, much better and much deeper, because we can, if I default into my standard thinking, you know, I can get challenged on that and vice versa. Right? So that's always good. And also for us, at least, probably not for everybody, but for us, we're quite lucky in the sense that it just happens so that we like to do the different things. So Autumn loves to do the editing and making everything sound very good and wonderful, and she's very good at it and adding all the characterizations and so on. And I don't like that. So so I can do my things that I love to do, and she can do her things that she loves to do. So I think that's lucky for us, of course, and maybe not every author co-writing relationship will be like that, but at least it is for us.
Yes. And sorry, I was a little late. I had this written down wrong.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. We're recording, so don't worry. I'm just going to say we had a few tech things that happens, and including time zones. I know all about those. Oh, but just to welcome Autumn onto the show. Glad that you can be with us, Autumn. Thank you so much.
It's fantastic to meet you. And I will definitely chip into that question, is that Jesper is also amazingly good at plotting and making sure we have the foundation down. And that's definitely when I was writing my own stuff. I'm not a pantser, but I'm not as big a plotter. And he's just so good at making sure we stay online. And I think it adds an extra ounce of influence to the world that when I'm writing my own stuff, I usually have to, edit it in later. So it ends up being a better product. It's definitely 1+1 is not a one, it's a multiplication. We're getting such a better advance by helping each other out and being partners in this.
Yeah, it certainly sounds it. I mean, even the kind of coming together, bringing your two businesses together, it sounds like you have complementary skills. Yes. And assets that work really well together. I wonder if I just go back to the beginning, Autumn, and would you mind sharing with our listeners how you came to writing and got to where you are today?
Oh, sure.
We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. I've always enjoyed writing. I've always been a big fantasy reader, and that's how I discovered fantasy was a short story by Anne McCaffrey, Dragon Impression, and that was it. I was in love with fantasy at that point from that moment on. And I always, even in high school, I actually won a short story contest. So I'd always written a little bit, but it was just something I did on the side, even though I was an English major. I didn't take it seriously, except I would often write in my notes, like in college, you know, you're supposed to be taking notes. I'd often flip to the back of my notebook and start writing short stories. And eventually my husband actually found one when we were still dating. And he said he thought it was fantastic. And he's like, you have to keep this up. So I started developing it. I took some extra, despite the English degree, took some extra creative writing classes, some novel writing classes as an adult ed. And he had actually shared with me a story. I was working for the U.S. government, an agency, NRCS at the time. And he shared a very similar story about a different civil servant that self-published. And she was doing that while working. And he's like, this is like you. And I read that in December, and I think February of that next year, I published my first book on Amazon.
Exciting times. Now, Autumn, I was just saying before I came across you, and I guess, and by default or by extension, Jesper as well, through the Women in Publishing Summit. Yes. That you were speaking on. So I wonder, you were talking there about how you can outline and write together sort of 90 to 100,000 words in under 3 months, which for the fantasy writers out there, given this, you know, how big the books are, that will be a dream, I'm sure. So could you talk to us through your outlining process?
Yes. Well, I mean, Jesper is, we wrote a book on plotting, and it really does step you through it. And I mean, it really comes down to, oh, geez, I don't even know where to start. Go ahead, Jesper. You're the one who, again, he always does the first write through of the book, and we have adapted that. It came from both of our own spheres of how we worked, and then he kind of combined it into one, and that is how we're working. But to me, even as a pantser, I think having an outline, and we break it down to a word count and a chapter goal. If you can start with that, and I also really love using the 7 steps of story structure, which I think I talked about in the Woman Self-Publishing course or event, that it's, if you can take those two things at the barest minimum, having a chapter count, a word count, and then divide that up into the 7 stages of story structure, you have a very quick outline. You can do that in half an hour to just a couple of days. And if you're a pantser, then you can dive into it. And if not, Jesper can tell you more about the plotting.
So I wonder if I could just ask, though. So as a pantser, you don't find having an outline inhibiting, because to sort of constraining, or actually is it loose enough that you're able to kind of still be free?
It's loose enough, and I'm definitely a hybrid. I think being 100% pantser, Jesper and I both started off as pantsers. We both had the exact same experience. I think I was 3 chapters into my debut novel, and I was totally lost. The characters were lost. I was lost. I didn't know what was going to happen next. And I'm like, you need more structure than this. I could not go blind. And so I had always, even now, if I'm writing on my own, I have a very loose outline where I have an idea of what happens in every chapter, but it might be 2 sentences. Okay. And when I get to that chapter, I fill in some details, like what is the beginning, what's the climax, I make sure there's a chapter structure. Mm-hmm. So it rolls from there, and you have to have some kind of guideposts, mm-hmm, to make sure you're writing very good chapters and that you're not going to go back and either dump half your book or waste time on things. Because to get it done in 3 months, you do need to have your goalposts and you need to know your map. If we're writing together, you have to have a lot better communication, and we have a much stronger outline. And I think Jesper is more towards the plotter anyway, so it works out really well that way.
Yeah, I like the plotting because I hate redoing work. That's like, once I'm done with a chapter, I want it to be done. I don't want to go back to it.
I'm a layer. I like doing things in layers, so this is where we're totally different.
But at least in terms of writing together, I mean, if you write alone, you can probably sort of find your own way through it and find whatever works for you. But at least when you write together, you need to be pretty aligned on where is this thing going? What are we trying to tell with this story and so on? And if you don't have that under control, you are going to rewrite stuff, or you're going to end up like 15 chapters later. One person will say, well, this is not what I thought was supposed to happen. And then you have the problem, right? So we try to actually plot out, fairly detailed in terms of what is going to happen, not on a chapter by chapter level, but more like, here's the structure of what's going to happen through these 7 pillars of story structure and how are we going to touch upon each one. I haven't sent it to Autumn yet, but I just finished up the plotting structure or pillars for the next book today.
Oh, that's fantastic. So
I'm going to email it to Autumn today, but that's 7,000 words just as an example, right? So so there is quite some content there in term, but you have to, because you have to sort of figure out also details, because especially with the character development and so on, where is this stuff going and what are we turning this character into? Because we are writing series as well, so it needs to set up the next book correctly as well. Mm-hmm. So, it requires some planning.
Congratulations on getting that plan done for today.
He loves bringing me these. He loves doing this on even our podcast. He's like, oh, did I not tell you this? It's like, no, you didn't. That is so exciting.
I do it on purpose all the time.
I know you do.
So my next question then would be, so Jesper, you send it to Autumn. Autumn has a look at it and say she's like, oh, not keen on this. How does that discussion go? How do you kind of work out either a change of direction or adding things in or taking things away? How do you negotiate that?
Yeah, well, I, I, I think for us, at least, so far, we've been lucky in the sense that we've never really ended up in headbutting anything. We might sometimes have a slightly different view on where we want some, but then we just have a conversation. We have a like a weekly standing meeting, the yes. two of us. So usually we can just, oftentimes it's minor things, we just work them out over email. Other times we might discuss it during our weekly session. Just and usually, actually, I feel like we end up in a third place from where we started. So we end up with like a hybrid thing between what one of us and the other one said that we're happy with. But I think personally, at least, that if you are co-authoring, you cannot be too precious about your ideas. Mm-hmm. Because if you only want your way, and then it, you might not find a writing partner who can write with you, because you have to be a bit open-minded to say, okay, but maybe this, let's explore this other idea a bit and let's see if it's better. And yes. sometimes it's not. And that's sometimes when we end up with the third version. Yes. Or sometimes one of us just says, okay, you're right. And then that's it. But I don't know. We've been pretty lucky that in general, we always, we think alike. So,
surprisingly.
So we don't have too much to argue about.
Yes. And I think it's very interesting because, I mean, we're from different countries. We have different backgrounds. But we end up, I think I move more towards Danish than Jesper does towards US. So he can take blunt. So we have blunt conversations and there's no criticism. It's no critiquing each other as our skills. We both feel very strongly that each other has very strong skills. We have great respect for each other. And we can just have frank conversations. It's about the story, making the best story we can, not whose story is it and who gets this character. It's about creating something together. And that's what you have to keep in mind. And we both have come from management backgrounds. So we are used to talking to people in a very like creative, constructive feedback sort of way. So combine those two things. And, you know, we're usually going, yeah, we're talking about writing instead of a business meeting. This is fantastic. Let's talk about magic and fantasy and dragons. And we're good.
What's there not to like?
Exactly.
So that brings up another question then. How do you decide who's writing what? Do you do it chapter by chapter, alternate chapters, sections of the book? How do you do it?
Yeah, well, so, we'll never know if we're going to change it at some point in the future, but at least the way we do it, or have done it for both the nonfiction books, but also the fiction books that we're writing now, is that I do the entire first draft. Mm-hmm. I do all the first draft writing, and then I give it to Autumn, and then I let her do her thing. And I don't look at it again. So once I'm done, I leave it with her. So she will change some things and she will add it and she will edit to it mm-hmm. and whatever, but I don't look at it again. And that's maybe going back to your initial question about how do we do a fantasy novel in 3 months? Because if it has to go back to me and I have to start rewriting it and questioning it again, mm-hmm. it's going to take a very long time. So instead, I just trust that Autumn will take care of it. She knows what she's doing and that's it. And I don't see it. Yes. Again, so I'll just start the next book and the next first draft and while she does the previous book.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I get to add in, you know, I can change dialogue. I add in a whole bunch of different elements. I can add in more description. It's taking a first draft and it's more than just editing it. It is overwriting it, sort of. So I add my own version on top of his. And so he has the framework and then I have the finish polish. And then once I've gone through it, I love doing rounds. So I do like 2-3 rounds and then we send it off to the editor.
I see. Because maybe that answers my question then. Because I was wondering, okay, well, how then if you've got two different people writing the same story, how do we find the voice then? How does the voice come through? But it's from what you're saying, it sounds like perhaps it's an amalgamated voice.
Yes, it is. It's not mine. It's not Jesper's. It's a totally different one from either of us alone. And I think that's what's interesting. And that's why it's better, because there's definitely nuances. I think the different genders, the different cultures, everything else comes together to create something that neither of us would do on our own. And so, yeah, I can see a book that I wrote solely by myself. I can see one I'm writing with Jesper. And it's cool to me. I think the version of us together, it's a totally different story I could never do on my own. And I just love that. It's a fantastic experience.
Mm-hmm. And so what about then, got the book, it's finished. Now we need a cover. How do you guys decide on what's okay.
Autumn's putting her hand up there. So you get to do the visual side.
I do. Well, I have a studio art degree. So my first degree was English and studio art. So I'm a graphic artist and do book covers professionally as well for other authors. So that's definitely, to me, it's more finding the time to do as much art as I'd like to, which working with Jesper is actually freeing up some of my time because the writing is not the slog of doing it on your own. You get, it's a little more fun. I can take more breaks. So I'm drawing a lot more, which is fantastic. But yeah, I get to do the covers and I usually come up with, just like I would do with any process for any author, I come up with some mock-ups. We talk about ideas. We do a market research thing. What is looking good? Happily, Jesper often just says, hey, these are books that are in the same genre that I like. So I don't even have to ask for it. And then I come up with an idea and send it back to him. And yeah, we end up with some cover art.
Oh, sounds like a very harmonious relationship indeed.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we still have it ahead of us the first time we really strongly disagree about something. It hasn't happened yet, at least.
It hasn't, but and we've been together 3 years, so yeah, we'll get there eventually, I'm sure.
Maybe, who knows?
Well, I hadn't planned on asking this, but it is something I'm just as I progress through my career, I'm more and more. And I listen to Joanna Penn a lot. So I'm more and more aware of kind of intellectual rights. Mm-hmm. And I've got a bit of a property background. And I know that when you kind of go into business together, it's very important to have things clearly delineated. Did you guys do this or did you just throw your hat in and go for it? Or what was the process for you?
Yeah, so we actually have I would call it a fairly detailed contract between us that defines the property, intellectual rights, but it also goes into detailing what would happen if one of us was disabled or died or whatever. Because if we go 20 years down the road from here, who knows, you know, we might have like 50 books that earns $1 million a year. Who knows, you know, and we need to have predetermined what happens then, because if somebody isn't here anymore and there's all of a sudden $1 million floating out there, I assume that the families would like some sort of part of that. So we have actually defined that in contracts already so that it's clear and it's already decided what happens. Also, if one of us would want to bring in a third party at some point for whatever reason, the contract also says how's that supposed to work and so on. So we tried, there's probably something we've forgotten, but we tried to cover all our bases in that contract so that there's no reason to argue about it because it says right there how it's supposed to work.
Yes. And I think that was very much, if we couldn't have gotten through that initial paperwork, how are we going to get through, you know, years of business together? So I think it's very foundational. Authors are going to work together to figure that out beforehand, because if you can't handle that conversation when it gets to something you're passionate about and maybe you're not thinking, you know, you're like, I have to have the character do this. This has to happen. You know, if you have to be able to talk about bland, normal stuff, like what happens if one of us can't work for a year and, you know, something else comes up or you have a family emergency and you just needed to step back for a while. How does that work? If you can't have that conversation, you probably don't want to dive into something you're extremely emotionally attached to.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us, because I think it's a really important part of any business relationship. But when you're in the excitement of finding someone new to write with, it can be easily forgotten. So thank you for sharing that with us. But I'll move on to something
indeed.
Less.
And also, no, I just wanted to say that it was just a side remark to what you said, but I just wanted to say that it's also a million times easier to discuss those things when you're not in the middle of an argument about it. Right? But predefining them in the contract, when everybody's calm, there is no situation. So you can just define this is how it's supposed to work. And you're very calm about it, right? So it's a million years. Just lay it down in the contract and it's out of the way. And you don't have to discuss it the day the house is on fire.
Good analogy. So I'm going to move on a little bit now to asking you about your podcast, because you guys do a podcast together called Am Writing Fantasy. So could you tell us a little bit about it and what listeners might expect from it?
Oh, absolutely. We just recorded what, episode 124, and I only know that because I was thinking when we passed 123, I'm like, we'll never be at 123 again. But I mean, before that, we actually had a YouTube channel, but we moved into doing a podcast, and I love it. I love having the podcast. It's a much different format. Less B-roll, which I didn't even know what it was until Jesper had explained it to me what B-roll was. I did not come from a film background. I came from like painting oil paints onto canvas background. So they don't move. But it was, we talk about you know, writing tips. We talk about marketing tips. We have interviews. We've had Joanna Penn. We've had Chris Fox. We've had so many great, fantastic people on the podcast. And we've actually started doing something which is even more fun. I think we have way too much fun with this, as we've started doing a humorous episode every month. And they're usually competing lists of usually like the worst magic system ever or the worst world. And so those are, I think the listeners like it, but I know we do too.
And do you find that you get...
We have a lot of fun.
Do you find that you get only fantasy readers or and writers, or actually do you, does it, you get people from all different genres?
That's a good, it's pretty much marketing, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much for, I mean, it is called Am Writing Fantasy because mm-hmm. we're trying to speak to fantasy authors, obviously, but it is really for any genre because we talk about writing and book marketing and publishing mm-hmm. and stuff like that in general. Yes. So, I mean, there's nothing in book marketing that is specific to fantasy versus writing horror or romance or whatever. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. So, yeah.
Just the worst Anybody magic systems listen. Usually are the ones that'll come up. But those are more fun because then you get to pick
but
on
they're just fun. Yeah. Yeah.
But characters, all the other things we talk about are definitely platform-wide and what every author is facing these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be sure to put a link so that people can find it easily in the show notes. So, Jesper, you mentioned that you've done the outline of something. And my next question is going to be, you know, what are you both working on, either together or independently?
Yeah, so, yeah, I just mentioned the outline. So at the moment, we are 2021 is dedicated to fiction writing. So we have already co-written and made a short story available in a brand new fantasy world that we've created, which is the idea is that it'll host all our books and stories. Mm-hmm. That world. So we have a short story already made available. The first draft of book one in a new series has been written, and Autumn is doing her thing with that. And I've just finished up plotting the large scale pillars for book number two in that series. So that's what we are working on at the moment.
Yes. And besides that, I have been releasing a urban fantasy series that I wrote most through 2020. So that is one I wrote by myself. It's called The Tainted Fae. So it's a fae urban fantasy post-apocalyptic sort of climate change. It's all rolled in there, all the problems of today's world. And so I just released book number 2, 3 is coming out at the end of April. And the final book in the series will come out at the end of June.
Wow. So 4 in the series. You had a busy 2020.
Yes, I did. I didn't release any books from June 2019, except for we did nonfiction, all the stuff we were doing together. So I just kind of hunkered down in 2020 because what else were you going to do? And just wrote and worked on Am Writing Fantasy.
Oh, fantastic. You guys have got such a wonderful world. We didn't even really delve into your nonfiction, which we could have done as well, because you've got so much. Cleo and I've been over on there. I write the Am Writing Fantasy website, and I've seen that, you know, your courses are there as well as the books that you've got. So I'll definitely make sure people can find that easily. But that's us kind of come to the end already. I can't believe it. But before we finish up, can you let people know where they can find out about you both online?
Yeah. So the easiest thing, of course, since this is a podcast and I assume listeners then listen to podcasts. So the easiest thing to do is, of course, to go to the Am Writing Fantasy podcast. Just search for Am Writing Fantasy in your podcast app and you'll find us anywhere you listen. Other than that, then, of course, we have Am Writing Fantasy, like you mentioned, .com. That hosts all our author-related stuff, meaning nonfiction books for authors, courses for authors, all that stuff is there. And then amreadingfantasy.com, that hosts the fiction side.
I see. Okay. Lovely. Well, again, I'll make sure that those are all up. Well, listen, Jesper, Autumn, thank you so much for joining me today. It was great that you could both be here.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found that helpful and inspirational. Now, don't forget to come on over to Facebook and join my group, Turning Readers into Writers. It is especially for you if you are a beginner writer who is looking to write their first novel. If you join the group, you will also find a free cheat sheet there called 3 Secret Hacks to Write with Consistency. So go to emmadesi.com/turningreadersintowriters, hit join. Can't wait to see you in there. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.